Good to see everyone today. And I know I can't see those people online, but it's welcome. We know you're not here physically, but you're with us in heart. So I'm going to continue in the series that Kevin opened up last week, which is Christ Has Come. And this will be part two. It'll be about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So our scripture for this series is in Isaiah 7:14, and it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Listen carefully. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So as we approach Christmas as followers of Jesus, it's a good time to remind ourselves that it's more than the glitz of Christmas celebrations and decorations, or celebrations and decorations, gifts and friends and family, and all of that is good. But it's also time to reflect on the incredible moment in time when the God of all creation sent his son Jesus as a redemptive gift to the world. And when I say remind ourselves, I mean to look deeper, and I love the way Mark opened the meeting today. He was talking about going deeper, because I think the Holy Spirit wants us to go deeper and understand that this was not just an incredible event in history, but the beginning of a transformational shift for mankind that has and is continuing to change the face of the world and all of us if we take time to open our eyes to the wonders of what God has already done. So number one, very simple, what is peace? So I've just looked at peace as what is the worldview of peace and what is the kingdom view of what peace is. And so in the dictionary, if you look up peace, you'll get something along this line. It's a state, the worldview is a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from war and violence. It is the state of not being interrupted or annoyed by worry, problems, noise, and unwanted actions. Now, kingdom view, what is peace in the kingdom view? Well, that peace is more than just the absence of conflict or of our own personal condition of rest. It means, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it means completeness and wholeness. It means fulfillment, harmony, and well-being. And it points to the presence of something else. And that is the important part of the something else. For us as believers, that something else is that Jesus is our peace. So in world peace, of course, it's completely dependent on man. It's dependent on politics, on laws, on the success of peacemakers, on treaties, and on things like the balance of power. But in the kingdom view, we're dependent on Jesus and only Jesus for peace. And his peace, Jesus as our peace, is something that the world doesn't quite understand. And that's why, as we see in Scripture, it's something that this says his peace surpasses understanding. So worldview and biblical view of peace are different. As believers, peace is not a feeling. It's not an emotional barometer. But peace is a person, Jesus. And we need to embrace this truth. I believe that we're to experience a God's peace, not only in heaven, but on earth. And we'll be looking at some scriptures that show you that's exactly what God intends for us, is to experience that peace here on earth. And my hope is that as we examine a few scriptures this morning, that Holy Spirit will help us to see peace in the person of Jesus and realize that Jesus is in every believer already. I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, just have your way this morning. We want to hear what you have to say. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and let us hear what you have to say and to teach us about more about Jesus, who is our Prince of Peace. So before we go on and look at some scriptures, there's just, I thought, a question that we should just ask ourselves, which is, is your perspective of peace coming from heaven, or is it coming from a worldview? The answer to this question will determine your understanding of not only what peace is, but who peace is. If you find yourself reacting to various situations and circumstances with fear and anxiety, then you're seeing and understanding peace through the wrong lenses. And I'm hopeful that as we listen to what the Scripture says and what the Holy Spirit is saying this morning, that we'll actually begin to have a right understanding of exactly who Jesus is as our peace. So the point two is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So I'll be reading Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child shall be born, to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So the word says his name, one of Jesus' names, is Prince of Peace. And it's not just a name. It's a reflection of a part of who he is. And we need to understand that, because it's not like I had an example of I may come to know somebody who's called Big Ed, and I meet Big Ed, and he's only this big. There's not really a reality to his name. But when we see the name of Jesus is peace, there's a reality to it. He is very much our peace. Ephesians 2:14 says of Jesus, for he himself is our peace. I didn't say it. The Word of God said it. Who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostilities. And the two groups he's making references is Jews and Gentiles. But Jesus is our peace in every situation that tries to impose a barrier or cause a dividing wall of hostility to keep us from being who he wants us to be. That's what peace does, and that's who Jesus is. Then the next scripture is in John 14, and just for the sake of context, you have to remember that starting in, I think it's about chapter 13, it's the time of Passover, and Jesus gets together with his disciples to have what will be his last supper with them together. And so, of course, he's just told them that he's about to leave, and that where he's going, they can't come. So you can imagine that situation. I mean, just take a moment. You spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to him, learning from him, and he's saying now, I'm about to leave. I mean, do you think maybe they're a little bit worried? What are we going to do? Jesus says he's leaving. What's going to happen? You can imagine that there's some kind of anxiety that's taking place. And what does Jesus do? He understands that completely. But he's telling them something that's going to help them in that situation. And so he says in verse 27, I leave the gift of peace with you. And he says, my peace, not the fragile kind of peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. So Jesus is saying he's giving himself as a gift to us, to his disciples, but it's a gift to us today. And that gift is himself as peace. And as he said, this is not the kind of fragile peace that the world gives. It's not dependent on circumstances or whether there's conflict. It's a perfect peace that works in every and all situations. And then he says, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your heart. Instead, be courageous. He says, don't yield. That word yield, it's don't give in to. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to trouble. Because my peace, I've given you my peace. I've given you myself as my peace to you. Instead, he says, be courageous. And we can be courageous. We may not feel that, but we need to remember, Jesus is my peace in whatever situation is that I'm going through. So the whole point of these three scriptures was just to reinforce what does Scripture say, not what the world says, but what does the Scripture says about who Jesus is. And it's very clear. He's our peace. And you can search through Scripture, because there's all sorts of other Scriptures that continues to reinforce that. So now that we have an understanding that Jesus actually is our peace, it's not our emotions, it's not circumstances that dictate our peace. Jesus is our peace. How do we live that out? How do we live that out in our lives? So that's point number three, which is living daily in his peace. So we're looking at John 16. So John 16, we just read John 14, so we know what's going on, right? What Jesus is talking about and how he's trying to prepare and help his disciples as he's doing so right now. That's what Holy Spirit is doing. And this is what he says. He says, "In everything I've taught you," "and everything I've taught you is so that you may have peace, the peace which is in me, and the peace which will be in you. And I'll give you, and it will give you great confidence as you rest in me." So again, Jesus is reiterating the fact that remember what he said, remember what his word is saying, and that's why, as we're always saying here, you need to know what is the word of God saying. You need to know that God is our peace, and he's saying that the peace which is in me is now in you, will be in you. The thing is that today we can say it is in you because of the work of the cross. His peace, which he's given us, is now in us because the Spirit of God dwells in us. So just think about it. It doesn't matter, again, what I'm going through, but peace is with me. Jesus is with me in every situation that I'm going through. So we'll pick it up after that. For it says, "For in this unbelieving world, you will experience troubles and sorrows." It's not never a condition of if. It's you will experience. But what does Jesus say? "But you must be, again, courageous, for I have conquered the world." God has conquered death. He's conquered everything. And we need to know that whenever we face troubles and sorrows, Jesus, our peace, is with us. He's given himself to us, and he's living in us. Philippians 4 and verses 6 to 9, and I'll kind of break those verses up a little bit. But it says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God." Now, I'm going to just give you a testimony that I just had on Friday as I was preparing, and hopefully this example will help you to understand the point here. On Friday, I was preparing. I was in my study. I had my laptop with me. I had my Bible. I had copious amounts of paper because I'm old-fashioned. I still do a lot of writing. And I was preparing for this message that we're all hearing this morning. And I got a phone call from work. And after the phone call, I was not shaken, but a little bit anxious due to the subject matter. It was something that I'd have to deal with. I thought I'd dealt with, but I'll have to deal with on Monday. But in that moment, I remember I got off my chair, and I thought, the first thought that came to me was, again, I was starting to feel anxious, was I need to take a break, because I can't just sit down and continue in the midst of preparing for today. And just as I was thinking that, I was reminded, oh, Jesus is my peace. He's not only my peace, he's given me himself as his peace, and he's also, that peace is in me right now. So I just started again. It says by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, I just started to go, thank you, Jesus, that you're my peace. Thank you, Lord, that this is a gift that you've given me. Thank you that you're living with me and I'm not in this alone. And as I did that, it's just that peace came again to me. And it's not that troubles or tribulations, because Paul talks about that in the letters to the churches. There are trials and tribulations that will happen. But these are the moments where one of the things that we need in the midst of that is to know what his peace is. Because as I continue there, and it says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Jesus, that peace is yours. It's ours. Jesus has given it to us. You know, when someone gives you a gift, I mean, when Jesus gives you a gift, it's not a something that someone can take from you, but it's also nothing that we should just take that gift either and put that gift away. But we'll get to that in a moment. But it, again, it's a peace that guards over our hearts and minds. And that's what peace does, because in that moment that I was sharing with you, my mind went somewhere else. And that's what happens when situations come. Your mind starts drifting to maybe that problem or that issue, or it may be a loved one who's sick. And so your mind will tend to go that way. It's not that it will never happen, but when it does, that's the time that we need to kind of give ourselves a little bit of a pinch. We need to remind ourselves of who God is, that he is our peace, and his peace is with us all the time. And that peace stands guard over our hearts and minds, because it's exactly in our hearts and minds where we can miss out on experience that peace. That's why I love Romans 12 so much, because he talks about, first of all, he talks about laying our lives down, which speaks of, you know, the first song we sang is "We Live for Jesus." That was one of the lines in that. And we have to realize that we're here to live for Jesus. We're not here to live for ourselves. We're here to live for Jesus, for what he wants. You get? So we need to lay down our plans. And then it says, and when we do that, then we can become transformed by the renewing of his mind. Because then it goes on to say, when we are transformed, our thinking is transformed, we begin to see the things the way Jesus sees them. That's part of the transformation process. So peace guards our hearts and our minds, because it's trying to remind us, again, through a transformed mind, what the truth is. Because the reality is that what we believe will determine ultimately what we do. And in situations where we find ourselves in trouble or anxious or worried about something, what we believe in that moment will determine what our next step is. So my next step that day could have been, yes, I could have got up and just taken a break. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, okay? I mean, sometimes that happens. But a better thing is to remind myself, which is Jesus is my peace. He's the source of my peace. Because we can have peace in every circumstance and situation that we face. Because it's not a question, as we said, there will be stuff that happens in life. But we get to choose how we're going to react to that. And I love one of the testimonies that we heard from Gayatri last month, was how here's a person who knows that she's going to die. But I know it was Bridget and a number of other people said the same thing, but she was at peace. So you wonder, how is that possible? It is possible, because Jesus, who is our peace, is living in our hearts. And finally, in verse 8 and 9, it says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. And I love what they have in parentheses, and you can see it next. It says, center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Center your mind on what is right and what is true, which is the word of God. Center your mind on, again, what is good, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is peace, what brings peace. So if you're thinking about negative things or you're allowing negative things to come into your mind, then that's going to disturb your sense of peace. But it says, think continually about those, center them, and put them in your hearts. And then in verse 9, it says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice them in daily life, and the God who is a source of peace and well-being will be with you. Yes, we need to practice these things. And one of the ways that we get to practice is when these things actually happen. And, you know, we have a tendency to think of, you know, problems and things as being negative, but they're not. I remember years and years ago, someone was preaching about how we view problems, and we always view problems as negatively, in a negative way. We say, you know, I wish I didn't have any problems. But the revelation was when he downloaded the definition of what problem means, and in the Greek it's problema, almost like Italian, and it means opportunity. And that forever changed my view of problems. So when things happen, when there's troubles and sorrows, it's an opportunity. It's time to practice what we know, what God has given us. You see, because God's work is complete. We always say it's the work of the cross is complete, but it's complete. When he dealt with the disciples back then and for us today, everything that we need to live to deal with anything that we might experience, you will find the answer in the Word of God. But unless you know the Word of God, then when troubles and sorrows and trials and tribulations come, then you don't have knowledge of what that is. So you're going to, again, you're going to start worrying about those things and being anxious. And my hope this morning is that there's something of what Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us the way in which we need to live. And sometimes we make it so complicated. I mean, Kevin said we make the gospel so complicated. It's really very easy. But it comes from having a knowledge of the world, but it comes also from having a relationship with Jesus. It's both the knowledge, they both confirm themselves. You know, knowledge in itself, but unless we actually put it into action, isn't going to materialize in the way that we'd like. We're not going to experience that sense of peace that God wants us to peace. But as we experience God and experience by practicing that His Word is true, then it just becomes a default situation. We all have defaults. Many of them, including myself, are ones that I'm trying to get rid of. And this is one of the ones that I want. I want to be in a place of peace. And I know that's where God wants each and every one of us to live, in that place of peace. Because that's who He's made us to be, is to do and to act and to live as the people that we do that. And you know, as we live in peace, you know what we're doing? We're actually glorifying God. And that's true of anything to do with God. As we're manifesting His love, as we're exhibiting joy in our lives, we're giving glory to God. Because it would be easy to say, oh, God, help me in this situation. But actually, He's an incredible Father who is there to teach us that we can actually, He's enabled us to be able to do things like in that moment decide, okay, I'm not going to get worried. Jesus, You are my peace. Yes, He can come and He does intercede on our behalf as well. But He wants us to learn that He's empowered us by His grace. That grace is an empowerment for what? For us to become the men, women, and children that He's made us to be. So when we're exhibiting those things in our lives, when we're exhibiting peace, and people can say, wow, how do you do that? Great opportunity to say, well, it's because of Jesus. That's why I can be peaceful in this stressful situation. In the midst of chaos, we can actually experience God's peace. It doesn't mean that that chaos will go away. It may involve, and Jesus will show us how to work our way through that. But in the midst, we don't have to deal with the anxiety and the worry of that, because he's our peace. You can do that. You've read testimonies of people who, in the most extreme conditions, who have been beaten and tortured. And that one gentleman, I can't remember his name, that Chinese, he broke his legs as well. Thank you, yeah. And I'm sure in the midst, he was feeling the peace of Christ to sustain him for what he was going through. But it's not just to sustain us, but it's actually to see us thrive and to grow and to mature and become everything that God has for us. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you this morning for what you've unraveled for us, what you've shared with us, that you've shown us both in your word, and you show us, Jesus, by who you are and in your character, and by the fact that you remind us that you're living inside of us, that your presence is with us and your peace is with us, that we get an opportunity now to practice that. And I'm sure we'll all have opportunities to do that in the next few days. And I just want to encourage, if you're experiencing any kind of anxiety or worry, or if there's something that's troubled your soul, I want to encourage you that when you go home, take a moment. You know, if you're with family, just say, take a moment and go to a nice, quiet place. And if you want to even take the scriptures that I've shared with you this morning, if you want to use those as kind of a guide, but just want to encourage you, just go into a quiet place and just be still. I've just found the best thing to be in his presence is just to be still and to allow him to just speak to you, and he will. And just as you feel his presence, just go before him and just say, Lord, you know I've been worried about whatever, blank, or I've been feeling a sense of hopelessness because of whatever that is, and just bring it before the Lord and just say, but Lord, I know now, the Holy Spirit has shown me that you are my peace. It's a gift that you've given me. And that not only is a gift that I have, but actually I have you. I have that peace which is in you is in us, because that's what it says in your word. And you just receive that peace and just be in that peace and just see the effect that that's going to have. So don't just go home having heard this message and just you're still dealing with some anxiety. I want to encourage you, take some quiet time with the Lord and let him bring healing, but let him bring peace as well into your hearts. Amen. Amen.